Welcome to the Gerson Tapes. These are a unique collection of lectures and testimonials based on the work and research of Dr. Max Gerson, his family, and colleagues. So please, sit back and relax and enjoy the great health information you're about to hear. Please remember, the information contained in this program is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional and is not intended as medical advice. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the research and experience of the Gerson Institute and its affiliates. We encourage you to make your own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional.
And thank you for coming. And I hope that you will find this an interesting and informative evening. Many of you have heard or know of the Gerson therapy. So what I'd like to start with today is some new things, supposedly new, that have started up. Just in the last couple of days, two, three, 4 days, you have heard of the new therapy, the new immunostimulating therapy that has been developed by Dr. Rosenberg and others that is making tremendous waves and immediately getting huge applause by the establishment people because something new has happened. They are now able to stimulate the immune system, right? Remember that chemotherapy depresses and damages the immune system, right? Now, they've done this for 30 years in the treatment of cancer. And a good friend and somebody who is looking out for us just handed me this little excerpt from the Wall Street Journal regarding this new therapy that stimulates the cells into an immune response. Now listen to this. The Wall Street Journal says this is the first time the immune system has been activated to fight cancer. Is that true? My father did this 40, 50 years ago. Restoring the body, reactivating the immune system so that the body is capable, becomes capable to fight and destroy cancer without toxic side effects. Now listen to this. It is a very complex treatment and there's a lot of toxicity. And further it says, the treatment's most serious side effects was water retention, causing weight gain and breathing difficulties because of fluid retention in the lungs. Okay? There was also other information that I don't immediately see, I didn't read the whole article, which stated that it is liver toxic and causes kidney damage. Again, we are dealing with toxic drugs. And it is always my contention, and I'll continue to state it, that you cannot heal the body with poison. And I'd like to define my idea of healing. I think it probably coincides with a lot of yours. When we talk about healing, what we're really saying is restoring to total, complete, perfect health. Healing and health, that goes together, doesn't it? Healing means restoring perfect health. Dr. Gerson did that with the nutritional metabolic therapy 40, 50, 60 years ago, where he was able to return the body to full balance, complete mineralization, complete immune response, complete oxidation, complete liver function, and when all of these things work completely, there can be no disease. The body becomes capable of healing itself again. In other words, as Dr. Gerson stated, you restore the body's own healing mechanism. His first statement is that in every healthy, normal body, there is a healing mechanism. And when people are ill, obviously this mechanism is not functioning poorly, under-functioning, or whatever. So what you need to do is first understand why it isn't functioning. And when you understand that, you can begin to get to the underlying problem, solve it, and thereby restore the function, the healing, the immune system, the balances, the minerals, the enzyme system, the hormone system, thyroid, iodine, all of the things that are necessary, the oxidative functions, everything. In other words, that's the first thing I'd like you to keep in mind. Healing is not drugging. Healing is not cutting out a piece. Healing is not burning a few cells and leaving the underlying problem to fester. Healing is understanding the total problem, the underlying damage, depletion, toxicity, or whatever, correcting it, and away go the symptoms and the so-called disease. Now I'd like to read you something else that I think will shake you up a bit. I'm very happy to be a subscriber to a little item put out by Dr. Robert Mendelsohn, who most of you know, a little news item called The People's Doctor. It's a newsletter. And he comes out with little gems. And among other things, in the next to last issue, he quotes MD Anderson's journal, which is called Oncologue, issued by the MD Anderson and American Hospital of Tumor Institute of Houston, Texas. And in that journal, there's the following statement. In the 1990s, only a few years hence, cancer in children will be accepted as a normal disease of childhood. The MD Anderson. Now, this statement, if nothing else, points out to all of us the importance of learning the underlying problem. Why are people sick? Why are children dying of cancer? What is cancer? How do we prevent and heal? Because the first thing clearly is now prevention. You don't want your children and grandchildren to have cancer. This is a horrible thought. So we must learn the underlying problem. We must learn to prevent, to heal those who are already ill, but to keep this kind of a horrifying prognostication from actually taking place, at least not in those of us that we can reach. Healing and preventing. So what is the underlying problem? Dr. Gerson said prevention starts in the soil. The foods we eat has to have the minerals, the enzymes, but particularly the minerals that our bodies need. I'm told that in foods that are artificially fertilized, you get some 3 to 6 minerals that are put into the soil. And I'm told that for a normal, healthy plant to get to our body's needs, we require something like 30 to 34 minerals. So the artificial fertilizers already produce deficient food. And when the plants are deficient themselves, they, same as the human body, are attacked by disease. What is the plant disease? It can be parasites, it can be rust, it can be pests. And now, in order for the farmer not to lose his crop, what does he do? He sprays. Now you got insecticides also on these plants. Often plants are already planted. Potatoes, for instance, I'm told, are planted with some poison in the soil right next to the potato. So it picks it right up. You can't wash it off. And often the plants are sprayed when they're in blossom. The poisons are in the plant, in the fruit. You can't wash it off. You can't peel it off. So what we are getting, largely with our commercial growth, we are getting deficient, damaged plants sprayed with toxins. So what we are getting is a deficient, damaged, toxic body. And that's what you need to grow cancer. Now, you got to understand that When the body becomes toxic, it begins to lose its ability to properly produce enzymes. And you want to understand that toxins are also defined as enzyme inhibitors. And it's interesting to note that about 6 years after my father died, two researchers, Dixon and Webb, studied a whole group of enzymes and studied how they are produced and what substances, what minerals and so on, what substances are the enzyme activators, the catalysts. And he found that in almost all cases, potassium is a catalyst for enzyme production. And he found in almost all cases, sodium or salt is an enzyme inhibitor. But an enzyme inhibitor is a definition of a poison or a toxin. Toxins are enzyme inhibitors. Therefore, salt is a toxin. Salt is poison. Now, you're going to tell me, some of you are going to tell me, but we need salt. The body requires salt. And I say, yes, you're right. But I also say that all the salt you can possibly need is available in your vegetables. You have plenty for all your body needs. And the minute you add salt to your food, you've exceeded your need. Now the body is put under pressure to get rid of it. As long as you have plenty of potassium in your system, the body maintains the balance and actually excrete the extra salt or sodium. But it is when you begin to become deficient in potassium, and the plants you eat are deficient, and the processing of foods and plants further reduces the potassium level in your plants, in your food. And when you reduce the potassium and continually, daily increase the sodium intake, you bring the body out of balance. And that's the beginning of disease. Dr. Gerson said loss of potassium from the cell system is the beginning of all chronic disease. So when we understand that, there are clearly several things we got to do. Keep our potassium intake high and cut out sodium intake. And you wouldn't believe how easy it is, for instance, to overcome the so-called premenstrual syndrome. With swollen, painful breasts, with severe depression, with swollen ankles, and so on. We have overcome that in patients who had suffered from it for 30 years. And because they had such severe problems, including serious depressions, and in one case, a lady had three times in her premenstrual syndrome depression attempted suicide. She was frightened that it might happen again. She didn't realize what she was doing. In 5 days on the Gerson therapy, she had the first time in 30 years a perfectly normal menstrual period. Restore the potassium, get rid of the sodium, get rid of the swelling, the edema, the lack of oxidation, and lo and behold, the body functions. The problem is that in those 30 years of suffering, she had gone to doctor after doctor. She had been given drug after drug, Valium and hormones and goodness knows what. And with all the drugs and all the additional damage, she had developed breast cancer. That did not go away in 4 days. And that's the next progression of disease. Because of symptoms, of relatively minor symptoms that are not really being treated properly, that are not going away on orthodox treatments with Valium and hormones and tranquilizers, new diseases develop. That's the worst part of it. Treating the symptom is the dangerous thing in orthodox medicine. So once you understand that treating most of the problems at the underlying level, getting rid of the sodium, getting potassium back in, getting nutrients, getting minerals restored to the body, we'll get rid of the symptoms, then you don't have to treat the symptoms. And we look, for instance, at diabetes. I have some very interesting information there. In one of our books, it's called The Health Revolution, there is information on the research that was done by Pritikin on diabetes. And it was very clearly evident that diabetes, underlying problem, is not a problem of the sugar metabolism. Would you believe it's a problem of the fat metabolism? When people eat fat, first of all, their red blood cells clog and clot and form lumps and clumps. They're called rouleaus, like rolls of coins. They can no longer carry oxygen properly. Furthermore, when actually it develops into diabetes, what happens is that the cholesterol, which begins to accumulate in the body, starts to block the cell receptors for insulin. Now, you have in the cell a certain area that requires and is a receptor for insulin, so that with the insulin, now the cell can handle the sugar properly, burn it into energy. Now, you also know, some of you may know, that many people who have diabetes, now we're talking about age-onset diabetes, actually have adequate insulin levels in their bloodstream. So why do they have diabetes if they have enough insulin? It's because this insulin is not getting to the cell receptor. What's blocking it? Cholesterol, fat. The fat digestive system isn't functioning correctly. So what's the answer to diabetes? Meat and protein with eggs and chicken and fish high in fat? No. You want to cut out all fats, all proteins. You want to go on a vegetarian diet with high amounts of potassium, no sodium, so that oxidation, digestion can start again, can get rid of the clogging cholesterol, and lo and behold, the insulin that's available becomes active again, and the patient no longer needs any shooting insulin or diabetes or any of those things, and the problems go away. Dr. Gerson's most famous patient for diabetes was Albert Schweitzer. He came to him at age 75, suffering with diabetes, having been told lots of proteins, no carbohydrates, eat proteins, proteins. And he was depressed and loggy. He couldn't work. He couldn't think. He was really not interested in living that way. And what did Dr. Gerson do? Same as he did for cancer patients. Fresh vegetables, fresh juices, detoxify the body, get the cholesterol out of the system, and usually it takes only about a few weeks, 3-4 weeks, and you can cut the insulin in half, and after another few weeks, the insulin is gone, and the body's own insulin works. Now that's healing, getting the body to function again on its own without drugs. As you may know, Albert Schweitzer lived till past the age of 90, collected a Nobel Prize in the interim. Okay? Healing. Going back to full normal function, activity. That's what we want to do by understanding the underlying problem. But now I don't want to leave the wrong impression. Juvenile diabetes is not the same. But juvenile diabetes is very interesting. It's a totally different problem. The ultimate effect is the same, the damage in the pancreas with a lack of proper insulin production. But the basic underlying thing is completely different. I had a lady ask me one time, what do we do with a child about 12 years old who had been a diabetic since age 5? I said, let me guess what happened. Let me see if I can reconstruct her history. When she was 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, she had lots of infections and lots of antibiotics. Yes, she said, she always had infections. Always to the doctor, always antibiotics. I said, by the time she was 5, then she probably one day had a very serious, like a cold, a flu that she couldn't shake. Yeah, she says, the mother. How do you know? I said, because that's the progression. And I said, then after that serious flu-type infection, then short time after that, she was diagnosed with diabetes, juvenile diabetes. Mother says, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Well, you know what really the problem is? Juvenile diabetes usually starts after pancreatitis, when in fact the pancreas is damaged. And when in fact the cells of Langerhans, the islands of Langerhans, which are the cells that produce insulin, are damaged and do not produce it properly. Now that's a true diabetic situation. But it's caused by a poorly functioning immune system. Colds and colds and flus and troubles, antibiotics, toxic. You don't reactivate the immune system with this kind of an attack on the body. And eventually, the body is no longer capable of defending itself and a pancreatitis occurs. Now, what am I saying? The body can't defend itself. Pancreatitis or hepatitis should never happen. It just should not happen. These are rich organs, extremely thoroughly endowed with immune responses so that they will not develop infections. So why do they? Because the immune system is severely weakened. The so-called reticuloendothelial system is very highly developed in these organs and protects them from infection. It's only in very severely damaged, depleted, deficient children that pancreatitis develops. Now, when I was working in South Bend, Indiana, they had nearby a school which had three first grade classes. They had to add an extra teacher because in the three classes of first graders, what could it have been? You know, maybe 30, 40 kids. 10 were diabetic. And before a Senate committee in 1976, when the U.S. Senate Select Committee heard testimony of vast amount of research in the entire United States, it showed that each year diabetes in children is increasing by 6%. Damaged immune system, poorly functioning body, poorly functioning not only because of the poor food. The children should be getting mother's milk is the only good food for infants. And no canned jarred baby food, that's dead food, as Dr. Gerson called it. Masses of dead food do not produce healthy life. So there you have it. The underlying problems are a poorly functioning immune system, a poorly functioning enzyme system. Here we have the lack of potassium again, the enzyme system that needs potassium as a catalyst. And why do these children not have a functioning immune system? You know, one of the best things that helps the immune system to restore. Dr. Gerson used it already in the 20s, 1920s. Is carrot juice. It's not just vitamin A. Oh, this was described about 5-6 years ago, that vitamin A is very important to activate the immune system. But then it was found that it's not so much the vitamin A, but the precursor A, the beta carotene. That is, in fact, the activator of the immune system. And what's beta-carotene? Dr. Gerson gave the patients already then 5 glasses of carrot juice, 4 glasses of juice made from fresh greens, high in beta-carotene, activating the immune system. And he healed the wife of Albert Schweitzer in 1929, 1930, healed her of advanced lung tuberculosis. This was before the days of antibiotics. By restoring, reactivating the immune system with carrot juice and green juice and fresh, live foods and greens. No salt, no fats. And it's very interesting that just in the last few years, one of the most published researchers in the United States, Dr. Robert Good, formerly head of research at Sloan Kettering, clearly stated that mild protein deprivation helped to react and help the immune system to respond. Protein deprivation meaning what? You cut out the excess protein. Most Americans suffer from excess protein. Now you get a lot of researchers, a lot of so-called nutritionists telling you need protein, protein, protein to build damaged tissue. Most Americans have excess protein and die because of excess protein. The excess protein overloads the pancreas and the liver and the digestive systems. Do you know that way back in the first decade, 1914, Dr. Beard found that when adequate pancreatic enzymes were available, there was no cancer in the body. When the pancreas, however, is tied up with lots and lots of protein eating, 2 eggs and bacon for breakfast, glass of milk, maybe a hamburger for lunch and a Coca-Cola, right? Maybe then a snack in the afternoon and a steak or a fish for dinner. That's the normal American diet, right? Vastly excessive in protein and fat. The body cannot handle it. Where is the pancreas going to take all the pancreatic enzymes now, not only to digest this overload of protein, but to protect the body against cancer and all the other problems? The pancreatic enzymes will break down malignant cells. But if you use them all up in protein digestion, what's the body got for reserve? Nothing. And that's, again, the problem of the cancer patient. When the reserves are gone, when the potassium is gone, when sodium invades the cells, when excess protein stimulates the cells to excess growth, and the sodium is needed for excess growth, and when now the cell can no longer properly oxidize with oxidative enzymes, and the cell goes into the lesser function of producing energy, and it's called the fermentative metabolism. And this was Otto Warburg who showed this, and he won the Nobel Prize twice. Otto Warburg showed that the normal healthy cell, when it utilizes food, turns it into energy, it is done by the oxidative process, using oxidative enzymes. But when the cell hasn't got these enzymes available, and when the proteolytic enzymes from the pancreas are not properly functioning, the cell goes into a lesser lifestyle, the fermentative metabolism. And Otto Warburg showed that that is cancer. It was shown much later, probably only about 10 or so years ago, that the only thing a cell can do with energy derived from the fermentative metabolism is grow and split and grow and split. Now, why does each cell in your body need food? Because each cell in the body has a job to do. The lung cells work to separate the oxygen and so on and put the carbon dioxide back out in the air when you exhale. The muscle cells contract, the heart cells works and contract. The kidneys filter and so on and so forth. Every cell in the body has a job to do. And in order to do work, you need energy, right? In order to get energy, you eat food, the food is digested, you breathe air, and the oxygen in the food combine to burn and to form energy. Now, it's very vastly simplified, but that's essentially what happens. Well, if that process is blocked anywhere along the road, and the enzymes don't work properly to do the job, then the digestion doesn't take care properly. And if proteins are not digested to the end product, your cells don't even get them. Now some strange things begin to happen. For instance, they have found that schizophrenics have poorly digested, strangely structured protein substances in their blood. And when these strange protein substances hit the brain doesn't work right. Now you call it mental disease. It's not. The disease of the protein metabolism, plus adrenaline and other problems involved. And therefore, with the same underlying therapy, with the Gerson therapy, correcting the digestive metabolism, with the same therapy called a cancer therapy, you can heal schizophrenia. Or epilepsy. Epilepsy is caused by improper transport of messages from brain cells. Why is it improper? Because the enzymes aren't working right. Maybe there's scar tissue. Maybe there's damage. You can get rid of the scar tissue with the Gerson therapy. And then the function becomes smooth and straight again. The underlying problem, not the symptom, is what you want to treat. The underlying problem is so very similar in all chronic degenerative diseases. meaning not germ diseases or not automobile accidents. Surgery is wonderful. It's great. It's absolutely necessary. When you break your arm or you're in an automobile accident, you got to be sewed up, okay? Or in a, God forbid, in a manufacturing accident. You get your leg or your arm cut off by some machine or something like that. It's got to be sewed on, right? But surgery is not the answer for cancer. It's not even the answer for cataract. With the Gerson therapy, we had a patient who had melanoma. Now, melanoma, as you may know, is one of the most malignant types of cancer known. Spreads very rapidly, becomes very quickly fatal. Had a tumor on her shoulder about the size of a goose egg. And she had surgery to remove it. They found out it was melanoma, so they tried to get it all, but it was so deep down, it was touching the tip of the lung, they couldn't get it all. Well, they said, 71 years old, they sewed her up, shrugged their shoulders, and sent her home. Before the wound was even completely healed, the tumor was back as bad as it had been, plus it spread to the other side. Now, this lady, along with the melanoma, had such bad cataracts, she couldn't read with or without glasses, nothing. She couldn't watch TV. She was virtually blind. She was hard of hearing. She had high blood pressure. She had arthritis. She had all kinds of problems. She came to the Gerson therapy for the melanoma. This is now just about 5 years later. She's not only alive, which means the melanoma is gone, because you can't live this long with melanoma growing in your body. She's alive. She can read. No more cataracts. Cataracts are gone. Arthritis is gone. Her hearing is vastly improved. Family says she hears more than she's supposed to. And she has so much energy, she takes care of the family and the kids. She works circles around everybody else. That's healing. That's fully restored. And you see, once you get the body to heal, you cannot heal selectively. You can't heal the cancer and keep your cataracts and your arthritis. You can't heal the heart disease and keep your kidney disease and your sore or whatever it is. When the body heals, it heals totally. Because you reactivate, you restore the body's own healing mechanism. And then, for instance, we had a patient, a man who had prostate cancer. He was followed in Santa Barbara, University of Santa Barbara, University of California at Santa Barbara. The head of oncology there, a very famous man, and who was interested in the case because it was somewhat unusual. The man was so young. 51 is not quite common for prostate cancer. Along with that, it was discovered because he had constant kidney stone attacks. They came every 5 or 6 weeks, regularly, for almost 2 years. Along with that, he had high blood pressure and was on medication. And he also had some arthritis, but not severe. But something else much more serious. He had 3 herniated discs in his spine. And there was so much pressure that he was in constant pain. Not only that, he had pain in the sciatic nerve, and the sciatic nerve was so compressed that the muscle in his left leg had gone down by almost 50%, atrophied. He didn't want to have surgery on his back. He was on full disability in constant pain, besides his cancer and kidney stones and high blood pressure. He went on the therapy because of the cancer. And now, it's very interesting to note that with the same therapy, his body was able to destroy and eliminate the cancer. He was re-examined by the same head of oncology and found clear. At the same time, he never had one more kidney stone attack, dissolved the kidney stones. At the same time, rebuilt the herniated discs. 2 years later, his back was fine, pain was gone, and x-ray showed that the spine was in order. Not only that, the damage to the leg muscle, the atrophy in the leg muscle was beginning to disappear, the muscle reformed. That's unheard of. It's absolutely impossible, okay? Except with Gerson therapy. And I remember I had him on stage and I was showing him as a recovered patient. And I asked him, say, listen, with the x-ray showing your spine rebuilt and with your leg rebuilt, did you lose your disability payments? So he said, no, they wouldn't believe it. Never mind the cancer. We cured that. They couldn't believe that you can rebuild herniated discs while with the same therapy dissolving kidney stones. Okay? The body does it right. The body knows. The enzymes dissolve the kidney stones, and when you eat right and don't overdo with proteins, you do not build new kidney stones. There's none of the deposit because now the kidneys function properly. At the same time, bones are rebuilt and cancer disappears because the metabolism, the oxidation is restored. That's total healing. And you can't do that with a drug. Even some of this wonderful stuff they're coming out with now, that they're talking about, now they're able to get the white cells immune response so that it fights the cancer. But what about the lungs? You get fluid in your lungs, you can't breathe anymore. Great. And you get damage to your liver and your kidneys. That's not healing. And what does it do for the heart disease and the high blood pressure? Well, we get rid of that very easily. High blood pressure usually doesn't take more than 5 days to get rid of, instead of taking drugs and drugs for the rest of your life. We had a physician who was a patient. He came to us because he had constant cough, bronchial catarrh. And he had tried every drug there was, he told us. And of course, we weren't going to give him drugs. We put him on the therapy. Get the right nutrients into the body. Heal those irritated, inflamed membranes that were causing this bronchial catarrh. And sure enough, after 5-6 days, he didn't cough anymore. Another couple of days more, he was also free of coughing during the day. He could sleep at night, was free during the day. But what really puzzled him was that he had no longer need for blood pressure medication. His blood pressure was normal. He said if this hadn't happened to his own body, he wouldn't believe it. He would not have believed it. Because every book, every medical doctor, every university, every pathology book and so on, teaches that once you have high blood pressure, you got to be on high blood pressure medication for the rest of your life. Not so. And when the doctor tells you, well, there's no cure for this disease, you got to learn to live with it. Not so. And we were extremely fortunate quite recently to have a patient who suffered from ALS. That's Lou Gehrig's disease. That's the toughest problem that you want to face. It's a problem of the central nervous system. The brain, the motor neurons in the brain become atrophied, and you lose movement in your tongue, you lose movement in your hands, you lose movement in your arms, your legs. You can't move, you can't swallow, you can't cough. It is 100% fatal. You know Lou Gehrig died. You know Senator Javits of New York has it. And there's nothing they could do. Don't you think they had the best doctors? Absolutely nothing. And they're told. Nobody knows what to do. It's very interesting. We have now evidence in several cases where the patients have either improved considerably or gotten rid of it completely. In one case, a man, 42 years old, he had lived in an area in Chicago where he was near a copper rolling mill, and he said that he remembered all his first 21 years when he lived there. He was constantly inhaling sulfur fumes, possibly some sulfur, some copper sulfide, I don't know what. And it always smelled sulfur, which certainly didn't do him any good. Then he moved away from there, and the next 21 years, he's 42. Next 21 years, he lived also in the Chicago area, but out in the country a little ways, where there was a lot of spraying, insecticide spraying. And by the time he was 42, he was diagnosed in two places, University of Chicago, as having ALS. He could not move his tongue, typical. He had a hard time swallowing, could hardly speak. It was very poor enunciation. He could not eat, chew, because when you chew, you got to move your tongue and move the food around. He couldn't move the food, so he had to have only chopped semi-liquid food. He had trouble moving his hand. He could not put his feet in front of the other. And he was told he had 2 years to live at 42. He came to the therapy, to the clinic in Mexico, where the patients go. And he was very thoroughly detoxified. And it's very interesting that he stated that with the coffee enemas that open up these liver and bile ducts, when the body begins to detoxify and let go of these accumulations of poisons, he says, with the coffee enemas, his stool smelled like the sulfur that he inhaled for the first 21 years of his life. He was getting rid of those poisons that were still lodged in his body. And he was washing and cleansing. His body smelled of evil all the time. He couldn't stand himself. He was alone in the room. He woke up one night. He said he couldn't stand his roommate. It was himself. He washed and enemaed and cleansed and cleansed. And at the end of 3 weeks, he was speaking freely and clearly, chewing and eating. His tongue was moving. His feet were moving. His hands were moving. As a matter of fact, he had so much fun that his tongue was moving. He went around and sticking his tongue out at everybody. And we understood. And he loved holding out his hand and shaking everybody's hand because he hadn't been able to do it. And he's going to be all right. Now, this is a disease that nobody can touch. And I'm almost convinced that it's toxicity. The toxins we get in our air and our water and our food and all the chemicals that are everywhere around us. If the body becomes capable of getting rid of it, you can restore health. Because let's now look at the basics. I'm convinced that the basic underlying healing for everything consists of two major areas: detoxify the body and rebuild it. You cannot do it with one or the other. You got to do both. It's like if you have a great big plot of land and it's muddy and it's full of water and you want to build a house on it. But clearly the house would sink right down into the gunk. You can't build on it. So now you go about to drain the land and maybe to put some piles in it and to strengthen the soil and make it solid and dry. But that's not enough. You don't have a house yet. Now you still have to build the house. The same with the body. When the body is toxic, remember, toxins are enzyme inhibitors. When the body is full of toxins, it cannot function. It cannot have the enzyme activity. It cannot oxidize. So you must detoxify intensively. But that's not enough. That's why fasting is not enough. Fasting doesn't heal. It produces further deficiencies. It doesn't rebuild. Because when the body is healing, when it's clearing the toxins, now you have to have the long process of rebuilding, of restoring, of bringing in the minerals and the enzymes and the vitamins. Now you say, well, why don't we just take pills? It doesn't work. In most people, when they are ill, when the body is toxic, when the body is damaged, the pills don't do the job. We have seen patients who have in their systems, in their intestinal tract on x-rays, bunches of vitamin pills sitting there that they'd taken 8 months ago. They're still sitting there, undissolved, unutilized. Stick them in your mouth, that doesn't mean they go into your cell system. But if you eat the fresh live foods and the fresh raw juices, freshly prepared, live with the organic food, rich in nutrients, that is absorbed and goes into your cell system. And when the nutrients go into the cell systems, it forces out the sodium and the toxins. And the cell systems begin to work, and the organs begin to function and heal. And you can't do it with pills. It's got to be done with alive, fresh foods. rich in the nutrients from a rich, healthy soil. And that doesn't work unless the body is also detoxified. So how do we do the detoxifying? Dr. Gerson used the research that was done by the University of Göttingen, two professors, way back after World War I. They found that when caffeine is put into the rectum of animals, it travels through the hemorrhoidal vein up into the portal system into the liver. And at the point of the liver, it opens up the liver and bile duct so that the liver is capable of detoxifying. Remember, the liver is among its maybe 10,000 functions. One of the functions of the liver is to filter the blood, to get rid of the poisons out of the bloodstream. But when you don't clean a filter, what happens? It clogs up, it doesn't work anymore. And if the liver becomes incapable of getting rid of these accumulated poisons, it doesn't do you any good anymore. So we have to open up the liver so that it'll let go. And when that happens, patients often have very smelly stools and they have black stools and sometimes they say they can't stand themselves for a few days. But then the pain goes. Whether it's headaches, we had a patient who just left the other day. All her life from age 12 and she's now 60. She had not known one day without headaches. And she was never without aspirin and Excedrin and all kinds of painkillers. And of course, after a long enough time of painkillers, she got, first of all, psoriasis, and she got, of course, a lot of intestinal troubles and liver troubles and finally cancer. Within 12 hours at the clinic on the Gerson therapy, for the first time, she couldn't believe it, she was free of headaches. First time since she was 12 years of age. And the whole time she was there, she was free of headaches. The body functions. It lets go of the poison. And the body systems begin to work. And the first thing that generally happens is pain relief. The pain disappears. When the body lets go, the toxic levels go down. The nerves stop screaming. They're no longer poisoned. And you can let go of the Tylenol and the morphine and all the codeine and all the other stuff. Because with it, you can't heal. How can you heal when you have to give a patient Tylenol and codeine and painkillers? Well, you can't torture them. But we don't need to. In almost all cases, within the first 36 hours, the patients are free of pain. We had a patient who came in only about 14 days ago. He had small cell carcinoma, Oat cell cancer in the lung. They're completely helpless with Oat cell carcinoma in the lung. It was not only in one place, it had spread to the bronchial area. He was in constant pain. He was constantly coughing. He was on codeine and cough syrup. He said there was like there was no tomorrow. They couldn't do anything else. They didn't even want to give him chemo, nothing. He was in such severe pain and coughing and spitting blood, they didn't know what to do. He came out to the therapy, a hospital in Mexico. In 24 hours, he stopped coughing. In 36 hours, he had no more pain. He couldn't believe it himself. No more spitting blood, no more pain. Now, I'm not saying he's cured. Far from it. But now the body is beginning to function. No more codeine, no more cough syrup, no more junk you have to throw in there. Now we can do the detoxifying and the rebuilding. It's a long, slow process to rebuild the sick, damaged liver. The liver must be sick. If the liver works and functions, you are well. It's only the sick liver, the damaged liver, that causes a damaged immune system. And then all the problems start. But the underlying problems of all chronic diseases are the same. And that's why this book, the Gerson Cancer Therapy book, describes the therapy which works for all the other diseases because it activates the body's healing system. It helps the body to function so that the body can heal itself. And just to help you understand, I'd like to show you a patient. Would you like to come up, Sylvia? Shiva was so entranced, she didn't even know I was talking about her. Okay. Now, Sylvia, you want to tell your story? Are you warm enough?
All right, I'll trip.
Okay. You want to tell us your story? When did you come? When were you diagnosed?
In April of 1983, Dr. Spivak at University of California in San Francisco diagnosed me as having lymphoma of the bone marrow, stage 4, and I had no idea what that meant. I tried to find out. Nobody would tell me what stage 4 meant. Anyhow, eventually I did find out. But when I heard this diagnosis, I was really crushed because nobody in my family, nobody that I knew, had ever had cancer. I went back to my homeopathic doctor, and she handed me the cancer therapy. I wasn't even a health enthusiast at the time, but she said to me, go home and read this book. And that's exactly what I did. And within 2 weeks, I called Charlotte Gerson. I went to Hospital La Gloria. I stayed several weeks. My husband went with me. And in 7 months, Dr. Spivak at UC Medical Center in San Francisco declared me completely free of cancer. My body kept on healing. I had had arthritis extremely bad 2 years before I found out I had cancer. It was so bad, in fact, that I couldn't take a step with my left foot. So I dragged it like this. Next thing I knew, my hip was out of joint. My spine was out of joint. Look what I can do now. That's the first thing that healed. After that, I noticed that I had been taking Senecot for over 40 years to move my bowels. If I didn't take my going stuff, I didn't going. Okay? Now I'm still on 3 or 4 coffee enemas, but I still go in between. My colon is working. Another thing, when I was a child, I had all the childhood diseases. And from the time I had scarlet fever, I had arrhythmia. My pulse used to go like this. Bum, 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 bum. It was never regular. I have an absolutely regular pulse now. And it's still continuing to heal my body. And I'm really pleased and delighted. But that's not my whole story. After I was well for about a year and a half, my husband and I joined a health club. I did a little aerobics in the steam room. Sometimes I went swimming, not very often because we're not allowed the chlorine. Laying in the steam room one time, I was bitten by a poisonous brown recluse spider. And I'd never heard of one of those before either. And my stomach blew up like a watermelon. The homeopathic doctor did all they could. The lesions started to heal, but the poisons had gotten to my heart, and this hand was paralyzed. I couldn't lift it to take a dish out of the closet. After 8 weeks, they said that was all they could do for me. So I went back to Hospital La Gloria, and this is what I can do now. No more pains in my heart. And I'm really in very excellent condition, probably for the first time in my life. Thank you very much, darling. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sylvia. This is just one of the success stories. And I do want to make it clear that grade 4 lymphoma means it is beyond all treatment. Grade 4 means it's spread all around. And did they offer you any treatment, Sylvia? Too late. Everybody said it was too late. They didn't have anything they wanted to do for you. Okay, well, but with chemotherapy, he said you wouldn't live 1 day longer. So he really sent you home to die. Go home and wait, okay? Well, that's pretty much the same thing. Okay, so instead, Sylvia got well. Okay. All right, we will be able to have questions and answers later, but right now we will just have to wind up. Okay, we have just a few more minutes. Okay,
When we are talking then about healing cancer, we are talking about getting to the underlying problems. The underlying problems is long-term damage to the intestinal tract, long-term liver damage, long-term toxicity accumulating, and therefore reduction of the immune system, reduction oxidizing system, and then all the other things follow. Obviously, the same thing as we are doing with cancer can be done with the other diseases. Now, everybody talks a lot about AIDS. And while we have not been able, of course, we cannot take contagious patients at the hospital, so I cannot state as fact that we can cure AIDS. I know that when you can keep the immune system up, even if in some cases people have been exposed, they do not need to develop the disease. If you can keep the body at a high level of function, you do not need to get the disease. You do not need to die. On the contrary, like all the other things, with some of the extra tools that we have, with the use of ozone, peroxide, with the use of intravenous potassium drip, clay, with some of the things and techniques we've added after Dr. Gerson died, because he said that the therapy is not yet perfect, that we can continue to improve. And we have to, because people are sicker than they used to be. There's more toxins and damage in the ground, in the air, and everywhere than there used to be. So we have to work harder. People do not respond quite as quickly as Dr. Gerson described. But we have the results. We have the patients. It's not 100%. So far, I haven't discovered anything yet that's 100%. But it works, and people get well. Of cancer, heart disease, high blood pressure, arthritis, of all these other diseases, because you get to the underlying problem, and the underlying problem is essentially the same, and that we can heal. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this audio. If you're listening to this because a friend shared it with you, please go to www.gersontapes.com to get the full program. If you want more information about the Gerson therapy, please visit www.gerson.org.